Welcome to Security Squad, a CertSecurity.com podcast for July 2012. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm Rob Westervelt. Joining me in the studio is Eric Perizzo.
Hi, Rob. Great to be here.
And we have Mike Momoso, the editorial director of the Security Media Group.
Hey, Rob.
We've got the Black Hat Conference on tap, a little bit of a discussion about some of the interesting sessions. This is the first year that we actually have a track devoted to mobile and covers everything from iOS, Android, and even Windows Phone, and also some of the underlying technologies involved. One of the sessions I thought was interesting is with Charlie Miller, Mike, on near-field communication.
Yeah, it's one of those tipping point technologies, I think, where it could push mobile payments and mobile apps over the top. It'll be interesting to hear what Charlie has to say about it. I don't think he's going to give up too much on his session beforehand, but I think it's going to be one of the most popular sessions at the show. It's funny, he usually, you know, really picks on Apple and iPhone or iOS, but he's on that not unofficially. He's been banned from Apple. He tried to sneak through an unvetted application and got caught. So I think it's a year long ban. So
no kidding.
He has not been able to get a peek at iOS 6 or any of the other early developer stuff that he used to get a chance to play around with. So
right, he was totally shut off from their developer program. Right.
Right. So he's turning his attention elsewhere. So it should be interesting.
It should be. And his talk isn't the only session on NFC.
Right.
Colin Molinar, who is another pretty prominent researcher now in Europe, who is focusing on weaknesses and just made some news about the NFC trials at the Olympics that are going to be going on later this month.
And that's one of the cool things about Black Hat. Like you said, they're always ahead of the curve with some of this stuff. And, you know, sometimes we hear some criticism from our readers that it's, you know, it's too far down the line for what we need to do every day. But, lo and behold, this stuff eventually does land on their plates. And, it's kind of neat to hear this stuff ahead of time.
Yeah, I should say his session is on a different area of mobile. It's on how to probe cellular networks from start to end, which is interesting. If you can't attack the platforms, because the platforms do have some security built in. Well, let's see what we can do on the cellular networks to monitor and sniff up traffic coming and going to these cell phones.
Right. I mean, in the past, we've seen some guys, you know, try to develop tools where they're kind of the middleman. They're acting as the provider or acting some point on the network as opposed to hitting the platform. And they've had some success, you know, whether using SMS or MMS messaging, a lot of different ways to think about these kinds of attacks.
Mm-hmm. And another area are baseband processors. These are the components of the mobile phone that communicate with the cell network. Again, sniffing network traffic. And again, kind of bypassing the device security features. So this is the first time, Eric, that Apple is actually going to be speaking about its internal security processes. Apple just released a document kind of outlining the different security features. It's a white paper for researchers outlining some of the features. There wasn't a whole lot new there that people didn't know.
Well, still, it was confirming a lot of things that people thought were true, and simply to get confirmation of how the process all comes together was significant, I think.
Do you think we're going to get any news out of Apple speaking at this conference?
Well, you won't hear anything until the end when they say, and one more thing. No. But, I think it remains to be seen. I still think overall it's a positive sign that, you know, in the past we've certainly been among the voices calling for more security transparency from Apple. Very little, as you said, is known about how they actually, you know, what mechanisms they use internally in their security processes, even how they go about vetting vulnerabilities that they are, you know, that are either reported to them or that they come to learn about through other means. So any information along those lines would be helpful. And overall, I think it's a positive sign that we are now starting to see a little bit more transparency from Apple regarding security. Granted, we're talking about very small initial steps here, but any progress is a good thing.
We'll have to wait and see on that, obviously. And one of the things that comes up for me time and time again when I talk to security researchers is the fact that Apple's been so closed, as Eric said, and not as transparent. And that strategy has actually worked for Apple, hasn't it, Mike?
It's definitely worked. And, you know, to their credit, I mean, a lot of people praise their vetting process in the app store is probably the best among the major platform providers. Hopefully that something new comes out of this session. I'd hate to think it's just a review of the white paper, which I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be a glorified review of the white paper. But it's definitely a plus that they're making themselves public. And it's interesting that they're going in front of this audience. This is a really skeptical, critical, smart audience. It's not that RSA isn't, but it's not an RSA audience. It's not that high-level management type that would eat up that kind of high-level presentation.
At the same time, this is an audience that has been calling for more.
Right. And yeah, they expect more, exactly.
In terms of Apple, there is going to be a session on attacking the kernel. And then there's a research team from Fishnet that is going to present some tools and show how to assess iOS applications. This brings up a point that I've been kind of following, which is that a lot of tools for the research community are still emerging in this area.
I think it's important, though, not to get too caught up in the shock and awe. You know, we've seen, you know, ATMs blasting out cash on stage in the past. And, you know, as interesting as that is, you're talking about attack scenarios that in most cases are somewhat unlikely or, you know, in other cases, pretty far off to the point where organizations don't need to necessarily worry about them today. But what I think is relevant is it does show what's possible. And we're talking about an event where, even though it's called Black Hat, I think it's safe to say that, you know, a good portion of the attendees would consider themselves white hats or, at worst, gray hats. You know, they often have the best intentions. You know, the true black hats, by and large, there are some that are there, but, you know, they're off causing their mischief in other parts of the world. But the point is, and what I'm trying to say is, what you see there is obviously significant, but what the real bad guys are doing is probably twice as bad, and they're not as eager to tell the world about it until they actually do it. So not getting caught up in it too much, but understanding that it is a representation of what's possible, and keeping that in mind when you're talking about budgeting and talking with CIOs who don't understand security as much, it can be helpful. You know, not that I'm encouraging FUD, but it can be helpful to be aware of some of the more dynamic and prolific things that happen at Black Hat in order to pull those out of your pocket as demonstrations of worst case scenarios when you need them.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, Mike, you spoke with Trey Ford, the general manager of Black Hat, and it sounds to me from listening to your interview that there probably won't be any big surprises, like somebody releasing a zero day during a talk. Did I understand that correctly? It sounds like most of the speakers, there may be attack techniques that are demonstrated that could be used in the wild, but for the most part, if there's any vulnerability mentioned in a talk, it's very likely that the researcher worked with the software maker or the hardware maker to correct the error before the talk.
Right. I mean, we've seen some, long gone are the days of Cisco Gate and Mike Lynn and that whole mess that happened, 7-8 years ago now. It's been a while. You're right. I think the last year's big session was the Sophos, when Tavis Ormandy took apart Sophos Antivirus and talked about those processes and when they fell down. He had already talked to Sophos for a while, and they knew that the session was coming, and they basically, maybe not encouraged it, but they, were understanding of where he was coming from and agreed to address some of the issues. I think what you're seeing is, maybe an industry that's growing up, that, the big splash isn't as important as it used to be, and it's a sign of maturity in the industry.
Right. And they work closely with the EFF.
Yeah, he did make that point that the EFF has come aboard and is on the side of the researchers, protecting their work and offering them guidance and advice when it's absolutely necessary. So, I mean, a lot of these guys do walk a tightrope with some of their work, and, you know, they are touching proprietary products for the most part and poking holes, and sometimes they shouldn't be, and, you know, they need to know where they stand legally.
I wonder how many researchers out there are now simply deciding to choose fortune over fame. If you are at Black Hat and you have a vulnerability, 0 day, what have you, that you want to share, you're probably not going to make money off it, but you're going to get a lot of attention. And there's a value in that, sure. But all sources that we know seem to indicate that the underground market for 0 days has never been as vibrant as it is right now. So I'm speculating, wondering, hypothesizing, are there more researchers, you know, again, we're probably talking about more along the gray hats and black hats, who really are selling what they're doing on the underground market, which is obviously more lucrative than going the black hat route. And I have no hard evidence to say one way or the other, but we know that there are certainly malicious organizations and nation states, including our own, that are actively going out and trying to buy up 0 days. So I was, just to wrap up my point, I think it's happening more and more, and as a result, conferences like Black Hat are probably suffering to some degree.
If you're talking about the typical Black Hat attendee, the researcher that goes to Black Hat, I don't think they're necessarily looking at underground, because I think they can make enough money selling to the HB Garys of the world or the Vupins of the world, who act as the middleman and will sell your 0 day to some government for you. And, you know, they'll pay you up front and they'll cash in on the back end. I think that part of the market is appealing to the Black Hat secure, Black Hat briefings, Black Hat conference type of researcher. That said, obviously, I think the underground is still, you know, pretty lucrative if you choose to go in that direction. I don't know that type of person is necessarily paying to go to Vegas next week.
Right. And
go to the show.
Again, we're totally spitballing here, admittedly.
Sure.
But, you know, I just wonder, if you're not an established researcher, it obviously makes sense to go to Black Hat and kind of establish some ties and look you know, make a name for yourself and make connections that way. But
great job tryout.
Oh, no question. But if you've been around the block a few times and you already know where to go with your fresh, brand new 0 day, you know, you probably don't need to market that at a show like Black Hat, or market yourself even. You know, in fact, you can probably make more money if, you know, nobody hears of it except for the people who are actually cutting the check.
And that's probably the case, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Mm. Which is
pretty scary.
Very scary.
This is the 15th anniversary of Black Hat, and because of that, the Black Hat folks are bringing back some early speakers. Bruce Schneier will be on hand, Adam Shostak, Marcus Rainham, and Jennifer Granick, as well as Jeff Moss, the founder of Black Hat. And they'll be speaking in a session kind of kicking off Black Hat after the keynote on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the most interesting people there are Moss, obviously, because he founded the show, and now he's got a pretty high up position in DHS, and Jennifer Granick. Obviously, she's an attorney, but she's represented some of these high-profile folks like Mike Lynn and I believe Kevin Mitnick back in the day. So she's got a very unique perspective, and she's obviously very tuned in with EFF and obviously the legal side of things. And Bruce and Marcus aren't shy with their opinions, and they're always good theater, if nothing else. So it should be fun.
The discussion you guys just had on 0 days may very well be part of the discussion between this group, you know, vulnerability research and ethics, and how that has changed.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's the fabric of this show for a lot of these folks that are getting up on stage. I mean, it's definitely part of the conversation they have with their companies if they're employed getting up there, and, you know, they got to cover their butts.
Microsoft is going to be giving a discussion on the security features in Windows 8. The Windows Gadgets talk, I believe that's on Thursday, and that's something that's already been in the news. Microsoft is urging people not to use Windows gadgets anymore because of this talk that's going to pick apart the Windows gadgets and show how weak they really are.
Okay, you're talking about the little desktop things, right?
The widgets.
Really? Yep. Oh, I love those. That's terrible news. I didn't hear that.
You're like one of the only people that use them.
Those things are great.
I'm not sure Microsoft really cares about it because they're going to be phasing it out with Windows 8. Windows 8 has live tiles that essentially will do the same thing, only they're a little more elegant.
Yeah, I like, again, this is probably just asking for malware, but I like the little weather bug one that tells you the forecast and it'll give you.
I remember seeing.
You should not tell people that you're using it.
Will you edit that out, please?
I remember RSnake doing a session on those Google gadgets a few years ago, just tearing them apart. Just so many connections and so much data they leak, and it's crazy. I don't know if it's the same with these.
Bruce Schneier is talking. Of course, it's on trust, security, and society. David Litchfield, the database security expert, will be giving a discussion on Thursday on Oracle indexing architecture. David Litchfield consistently seems to out some sort of Oracle vulnerability of some kind very likely hasn't been patched. And if it has been patched, it's very likely that a DBA hasn't deployed that patch for it. Smart grid security is a big one. Don Weber is giving a session on the optical reader in many smart meters. This is a session that was not presented at ShmooCon 2012 in response to requests from a smart grid vendor and the concerns of several utilities. And then PCI pin pad security. A researcher that goes by the name of Nils and Rafael Vega of MWR InfoSecurity will demonstrate memory corruption vulnerabilities in payment terminals. Kind of a scary thing.
Nils is one pwned to own a couple.
You can bet that session's going to deliver the goods. And it's interesting, we have a piece coming up on searchsecurity.com this week about how those Visa's new rules state that, if 75%, I think it's 75% of your annual transactions are conducted on terminals that include those chip-enabled systems, you can basically skip the PCI assessment for all intents and purposes. I may not be describing it well, but obviously that's a big deal because, you have Visa out there saying that, PCI gets a lot easier if you incorporate this technology. Now suddenly you have, one of the most noted researchers out there probably about to deliver a presentation say, yeah, this technology isn't what it is made out to be. That could be pretty significant.
There was a session on Mac rootkits.
Nothing on the air traffic control system.
Was there anything?
Yeah. ADS-B insecurity from the practical angle. Feasibility and techniques of how attackers could play with generator-injected air traffic and open new attack surfaces on air traffic control systems. Fly home safely, kids.
It doesn't get more critical than that, does it?
And with that, I think we'll call it quits. See you in Vegas, Mike. That does it for this edition of Security Squad. This podcast will be posted along with our other Black Hat content at searchsecurity.com/blackhat2012. For Eric Perizzo, Mike Momoso, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.